Hi, Victoria. Welcome to the Retronix
Hi, Tiara. So nice to be back. It kind of feels like I haven't been home in such a long time.
I know. We had an episode with Francesca. I told the listeners that the reason why renewal hour is not dramatic. We're still friends. We still talk to each other. It was that hard a job. And I had to come
Yes.
home doing it. But you guys are still going every Thursday at 12 o'clock. New episodes, new bookish tea, new bookish information, recommendations, and everything.
Yeah, it's still happening. Listen, the day job will day job. It is mad. So we get it. But listen, people, we talk every day, every week.
You do.
Okay.
Yeah, because we were like nosy, like, are they like not friends anymore? We're like, no, we're still friends. We still talk. We still see each other now. And honestly, like having you back, because you guys were pretty much our content for the past year, because I kept hearing no hour. They probably have heard you and heard your recommendations, but Victoria is my resident classics. What's new in literary fiction? What's new in genre said typically done too? And I really appreciate Victoria's take on things, especially making classics like easy to understand for a reader, like someone who may be intimidated by them. You actually make them more palatable. And actually, an enjoyable experience.
I appreciate that. I really do think people have a preconceived notion when it comes to the classics that it is hard, it's intimidating, it's boring. And look, some of that might be true, but I think if you have a really great entry point, it can really change your life. So we do have beginner-friendly classics. We have other exciting classics that are also seasonal. I do think some classics hit better when you read it at a certain time of year. So yeah, we're going to get into all of that today too.
Yeah, so today we're doing December because, as many listeners will understand, I've been celebrating Christmas as of November 1st, and Victoria had to yell at me because I really want to put my Christmas tree this week when we're recording, which is following week, and they're like, you gotta wait, you gotta wait.
Yes, wait till at least November 1st. Like, I am all for celebrating Christmas early and long because truth is, especially when you put things up, you want it around for a while. But November 1st, everyone, November 1st.
Yes. So let's start some recommendations. You got yourself, you got from I Don't Read Out Loud, you got one book a week December, you got a book that wrecks you, and some December classics beyond,
Yeah.
probably beyond the Christmas Carol. So.
Yes, we're going beyond the Christmas Carol today, though I will mention A Christmas Carol. However, I kind of feel like classics are really important to read now. I think classics are hitting different because I think we're all craving a kind of quiet that our present-day modern life doesn't give us, but classics can give us. It can give us that escape because they were written for a slower time of candlelight reading, silence, and when you really had time to linger on what these words really said. So I do reread A Christmas Carol every December, all right? I'm that person. I'm just always struck by how relevant it still feels. I do think Dickens wasn't just writing about Scrooge, okay? I do think he was writing about fear of regret and just obsession with productivity, which, hello, we're all trying to be super productive today, and just longing to feel connected again. There's so many other themes, but I'm just going to leave it with those three. So I do revisit A Christmas Carol, but I do think A Little Women by Louisa May Alcott. I think that also hits different during the Christmas time and the winter months. So don't feel bad if you don't get to it by Christmas. But in that book, we do get those early Christmas chapters with the March sisters and them deciding to spend some of their money to help another family instead of buying gifts for themselves. And I think it really leans into the true meaning of the season kind of vibes, helping others and not just necessarily enriching ourselves. Plus, again, it's Jesus's birthday. But every time I reread Little Women, I really do think about what we're missing in terms of like the joy of giving without expecting. Earlier this year, though, I revisited Persuasion by Jane Austen. And I do think that book hits different the older I get. I was definitely a Pride and Prejudice girly, though, full transparency. I'm a Rebecca by Daphne du Maurier girly, Jane Eyre girly, very dark classics girly, but I always appreciated Pride and Prejudice. But the older I get, I think I'm connecting with Anne Elliot a lot more. And I do think Persuasion is a good classic to kind of really get into during the Christmas season. Just seeing her quiet and longing, it feels very modern as well. And she really reminds me that being patient and being gentle and resilient, those are things that never go out of style. If you want something short but also perfect, you have to read The Gift of the Magi. Okay, some people say Magi, Maggie. regardless, it's by O. Henry. I do think that still captures the spirit of Christmas better than anything I've read. It's simple, but every time I feel it gets me. It really does get me. But I'm curious, Laura, do you have a Christmas classic that you maybe have reread? You might not have to reread it every year, but just something that really you think of when it comes to Christmas.
I live in New York City, and actually I've been to the bar where The Gift of Magic was written. And actually, it's a cute little bar. I can picture it in my, it's a corner bar and near Gramercy Park, which is this beautiful neighborhood where there's like a lockyard park. And I was like, oh yes, I haven't been. I actually have eaten in that place. And it's like commemorated and everything. So, but I would say Little Women has been the book that the classic I keep coming back on and on. I read it in high school and then I read it in college and I read it like a few years later. And I haven't seen the adaptations because I feel like it's hard to watch an adaptation of something that feels like special. It's a book that I've shared with my grandmother who really pushed for like women's literature. Like women's voices, especially in history. I studied that in history and it was a great place to see the Marx sisters grow. I appreciate some of the retellings about the Marx sisters in this contemporary world and what would they do. And it's kind of like a fun little thing, but I think Little Women is the one that actually the classic that I can keep going back to.
Oh, I love that. I mean, that's the thing with classics. I just feel like they're little mini time machines. They take us back to either the time we first read them or when we went somewhere and just interacted with the text. I also think adaptations, when they come out, it's a great time of resurgence of classics. I watched the latest Little Women adaptation. I haven't watched the older ones and I really enjoyed the production. It was great. And every time I talk to someone about A Christmas Carol, they're always telling me they rediscover something new. So this new classic that just really hit me in a different way, it really got me, had me in my feels, is The Bird's Christmas Carol by Kate Douglas Wiggin. So I actually found this book by happenstance. I do frequent Friends of the Library bookstores, used bookstores, estate sales, charity shops, wherever I can find them. I always beeline to the book section. And I found this very slim, kind of old, tattered kind of book. I really wasn't going to pick it up, but I was like, I've never heard of this. Let me grab it just in case I can't find something fancy and new to replace it. And I was so happy I did because it's about a little girl named Carol Bird. Okay. She's born on Christmas Day. She radiates kindness, even though her health is declining because she's not doing well. She's ill. She decides to throw a Christmas dinner for this family next door who are not really doing well financially right now. And it's just very beautiful and devastating at the same time, because again, this girl is kind of going through her own thing, but she's also being very thoughtful. So there's this moment at the end. I really don't want to spoil it. It's so good. But seeing her family kind of gather around this particular Christmas morning, it was heartwarming. Okay. It pulled at my heartstrings. And again, I'm not a crier, very stoic here, but it was written with such tenderness that I really had to stop reading at bits. Because it hit me. Now, it is short, okay? It is also in the public domain, by the way. So you can get your hands on a copy. Now, I feel privileged that I found this copy. Because again, it's that old. It's from the 1800s. It is bittersweet. But I think if you are looking for something new and different, that's definitely the book. But other books that have that similar vibe are The Little Match Girl by Hans Christian Andersen. I think that will wreck you every single time. I'm a big Beatrix Potter fan. And Beatrix Potter has The Tailor of Gloucester. Yeah, that one also has a quiet redemption arc that is also emotional as well. And I know those aren't your typical classics, but has a book ever made you cry? Like, don't leave me hanging here. Okay, don't leave me hanging.
I do. I hate crying. I hate crying because it's not something, I don't like just have that emotion, but yes. It's really tough because if someone tells me the book is like, this book is going to wreck you, I'm going to like, I have to be in a certain mood, a certain thing. And so it intimidates me because I have to tap in those feelings. And so I'm less likely to pick it up. But there's times where you kind of need to have that cathartic cry and you're going to feel the feelings. One of my biggest gripe is when they kill off the character in the last chapter, like a main character, and there's no resolution. And I mean, I need to have resolution for myself and for the characters, how they're going to interact. And so I have to know if someone died. Same goes with a pet. If a pet dies, no, I do not want to. Sorry, like I care about pets just as much as a family member or friend. Like they're part of the family. They have unconditional love. And so I have to be in a certain right mood to be and be warned that I am going to be wrecked. Because I need to, I should not read this in an airport, an airplane, or in a public place.
No. And listen, I'm giving everyone fair warning. It will wreck you. When I really think about it, I think we have negative associations with like crying because of like how we were raised, because I know that was definitely the case for me. But my husband's always like, listen, you need to cry. You need to let it all out there. So, you know, now I'm in a very cry encouraging space. But before we kind of get too sappy, let's talk about something joyful. I do have some joyful books that bring the Christmas magic back, especially when you're reading with the little ones. I do want to share like some really great read aloud books for children. So if you have children yourself, nieces, nephews, cousins, you could be a teacher in the classroom. Anywhere you're interacting with children, I feel there's no better way to build memories than Christmas read alouds. I have fond memories during Christmas being read to, and that is something I also do today still. So of course, easy win is The Polar Express by Chris Van Allensburg. That one is always a winner. How the Grinch Stole Christmas by Dr. Seuss. You can't go wrong with that. The Night Before Christmas by Clement Clark Moore. All of these take under 15 minutes. So this is a quick win because I know we're super busy in our lives, but just take that extra 15 minutes with the littles because I think the magic in their lives will last a lot longer. I also like the idea of maybe doing a story per night. That can also be fun. So by Christmas morning, you would have shared a whole 25 stories and 25 little moments. And I just think those are perfect time capsules of togetherness. But as always, those are the popular ones, but I do want to share some others you might not know. There's Mr. Willoughby's Christmas Tree by Robert Barry. It is so clever and joyful. There's also The Tomten by Astrid Lindgren. That one feels like a snow globe dream. Lots of fun. The Year of the Perfect Christmas Tree by Gloria Houston is so heartfelt. It's a heartfelt story of just love and sacrifice, but also fun. And if you have toddlers, okay, we have toddlers in the family. We Wish You a Merry Christmas is always a great sing-along. And they're barely pronouncing the words, but it's okay. Just let them clap, let them sing and mouth the words. I think it's a fun time because, again, this is something they will remember. Do you have like family memories? I know you said your nan. And you and Little Women, did y'all read along or have any fun traditions growing up?
No, unfortunately, childhood was an interesting childhood. And so we didn't. I was encouraged to read when I discovered reading. And it was like a solitary escape for me. But it's interesting because it's Christmas. It's an interesting time because Christmas was not a joyful time at home. My parents had a store and they were busy. So usually Christmas time was the time we spent with grandmas. And it's a fun time. And my grandma was like loving to us. And so it was like a good escape from like the reality of what was going on at the time. But then after that, we would go travel to Orlando to Disney World. We would spend the week after Christmas time, like we'll travel around New Year's and spend the first 2 weeks. Because in Puerto Rico, we celebrate Great King's Day or the Epiphany. So we had some extra vacation that American schools did not have. So we'll have the Disney park for ourselves. And it was a great time. And so, yeah, so it's just interesting to look at those experiences. And then reading for me was never part of like a family thing. It was just like my own hobby, my own hyperfixation, my own escape. I was known to be in the Disney World in the lines with my Sweet Valley High book or my Babysitter's Club book. And just that was a great way before the Kindles. I was with my paper. So I always found it such a comfort thing. And so, yeah.
You know what? I love that. For me, it is tell me your parents or your family or whoever you're growing up with. Tell me they're small business people without telling me they're small business people. Because everyone I knew growing up, and my grandparents were business people. My parents were business people too. That is just like the hallmark. They're never available during Christmas week. It's December. The whole month of December is a super busy time. I will say, though, I did have those nighttime reads. And because my grandparents were like basically really retired, slowed all the way down and they lived with us, I think that's what really helped because we were all under one roof. So that read really helped. But I will say read alouds aren't just for children. OK, because adults need a good story, too. And I grew up in a culture where adults read aloud amongst other adults as well, too, because I do think adult read-alongs are magical as well. And what's so funny is a lot of the adult read-alongs I remember were after dinner. And so like after dinner, you'd have after dinner drinks, or you're out at a pub just for a drink. Listen, people are reading aloud there as well. So just like how people would have like game nights at local bars and pubs and stuff like that. I grew up with read alouds. So reading aloud, I feel, is something I wish more adults would do today. I do think it's very intimate. It's grounding. It's human. And I think it's reclaiming, in a way, the art of oral storytelling. Listen, I trade in gossip. I love gossip. I love talking. I love sharing stories. And I think if you read aloud, that is also a different way to kind of bring people together and connect. So with that in mind, here's some adult read aloud recommendations. I think the Truman Capote, A Christmas Memory, is perfect for that because of the story. It's about a boy and his elderly cousin baking fruitcakes together. It's also nostalgic. There are bittersweet moments in there as well. I really don't want to simplify it, but it is good in the best way to read aloud. And of course, I'm bringing up A Christmas Carol by Dickens again because it is split across a few evenings. I don't remember if this Dickens was published as a serial, but honestly, I just find all Dickens can be great broken up, read serially, but also read orally, though a lot of his longer works are a bit tough. But I think A Christmas Carol is really good. And it's a funnier story than people expect. So I guarantee you, you're going to be reading certain parts and people are going to be chuckling. Another one is In the Bleak Midwinter by Christina Rossetti. Another great one to read aloud. It's short, it's meditative, it will slow you right down. But if you want something reflective, Wendell Berry's Essays or A Timbered Choir, I think that one is really good. The Sabbath poems, they're all about stillness and gratitude. They're perfect to read on an evening or just when you need a reset. But my personal tradition, I read Letters from Father Christmas by J.R.R. Tolkien every December. Every day I'll be reading something aloud, whether we're sitting down or we're eating dinner, or sometimes they're playing video games. I know it sounds ridiculous, but I'm like, no, let me read a story. And I'm reading it out loud. I'm reading it for me, but they're also listening. And sometimes they'll ask questions too. But Tolkien wrote these letters to his children from the North Pole. So he's kind of pretending like I live in the North Pole and I'm writing these letters to my children. It is perfect. It has drawings in there. There are lots of mishaps. There's a polar bear who keeps getting into trouble. It is so funny. It's charming. It's also moving. And I think it really reminds us that the holidays can be special. So I want to challenge everyone to do a read aloud with adults. And Letters from Father Christmas are super short. Again, perfect over a drink, because I think Christmas is about slowing down, finding comfort, and giving ourselves permission to be childlike, but also give ourselves pause. So yeah, that's how I feel about Christmas and read aloud. Do you often go for like comfort reads or just reads that slow you down during the holidays?
So I do comfort. I'm the coziest of cozy. Like, I don't like any gore or any specific things or people dying unnecessary, unless they might be like a fun little thing. So I tend to go for that comfort space. I think I look for joy. Since sometimes it's so terrible, things are, I look for the bomb of it and look for reading as escape. I also look for melodramatic, for like big soap drama, like specific things are just, you can suspend disbelief. Like things are, they're plot holes, they're specifics, but there is something to be said about the writing to feel like when you consider back writing that you're like, it's addictive that I can't stop. But in Christmas time, I tend to look for a place of just cozy and comfort. It's weird. I grew up in a tropical island, so summer all year round. And then I moved up north and I was like in the snow time and it was cozy and warm. But then I moved back to a warm weather. So I don't seek the snowy part. I don't miss it. So I look for just the cozy comfort, but it's okay with warm weather.
Yes. We still get comfy and cozy down here in Florida. We are Floridians. We're living in Florida. Don't come for us. But no. We could be cozy.
We're in the little bubble in Florida. We're fine.
I love that. We are living in a bubble in Florida. Okay. So yeah, don't come for us. But I want to challenge folks, instead of like rushing this December, maybe just slow down with one book. I would say, if you're going to slow down with one, if you can get your hands on Letters from Father Christmas by J.R.R. Tolkien, that will tide you over for the whole month. You can read a little bit with your littles. You can read by yourself. It's just that perfect book for alone time or with people time. But if you want a 4-week challenge, start with The Gift of the Magi by O. Henry. I think that's a great start. You can then switch in week 2 to A Christmas Memory by Truman Capote. Week 3 can be Some Letters, because odds are you probably can't finish that in a week. But Some Letters from Father Christmas by Tolkien. And then you can end week 4 with, again, A Christmas Carol, because I just kind of feel like if you've never read it before, now is the time. Now is the time to get into it and just create a whole new rhythm. Again, you don't need anything fancy. You just need a chair. You need a blanket. Maybe a cup of tea, hot chocolate, whatever is your vibe, and just unplug, because I think classics have survived for a reason. They remind us to feel, to listen, to slow down, and just spend some time with yourself, because that's not a bad thing either. So yeah, that's a couple classics for Christmas. I'll give Laura a link so that you can get a list of all the books, so you don't have to be scrambling and writing down as we're talking.
Yes, the books are going to be in the show notes, in addition to our blog link, so you can visit and picture a spot sign. But yeah, talk to us about the lifestyle and the YouTube.
Yes, Biblio Lifestyle is alive and well. I send a weekly newsletter. I'm on a 2 times a week calendar. I really just kind of round up books in themes. I share book lists. I share what I'm doing. For example, I just shared my thoughts on Wife Swap, which is a new Bravo show. So I'll share stuff like what I'm watching, my thoughts on The Woman in Cabin 10. But I'm also sharing book lists like, here's some funny books you can read. I do share classic book lists and more. So the main thing is definitely sign up to the newsletter so that you can stay informed. Go to bibliolifestyle.com and you can subscribe there. You can also find a whole bunch of resources right there on the blog. But I'm really excited about YouTube. I've been doing video content. It's been quite an experiment. It's been a year. And we're switching things up for the next year ahead. So it's really exciting. But you can find all my links. Again, Laura will put them in the show notes. But just go to bibliolifestyle.com. We have the winter reading guide coming up, which is super exciting. It's going to be different this year, but I think you're also going to love it too.
Thank you, Victoria. So for our listeners, make sure we'll be back next month with a new topic, new book list. We're going to have a new contribution. So if your goal is to read a classic next year, we're going to get you covered. We'll have conversations like this, so it makes it much more easier and more beginner friendly, not overwhelmed. So thank you so much for listening. Thank you, Richard, for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to the What to Read Next. For more book lists, cozy reads, and library tips, visit the whattoreadnextblog.com. Your next great read might be waiting there. Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whattoreadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.